five reasons you can make it. Five reasons, and they're scriptural, they're biblical reasons that you can make it. Receive a lot of kind notes, and one came just the other day, said, "Pastor, you've taught us well how to make it. How to make it. How to make it in life. How to make it as believers." In Luke, the 22nd chapter, verse 31, please write this reference down, and please take some notes because it's ministered to me in a strong way and ministered to many others also. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon." When God says something twice, he means listen. When my mother called my name twice or my father called my name twice, I knew I needed to listen up. "Simon, Simon, behold, see," understand, be alert. "Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen my brethren." What a strong two verses. What a powerful insight to the heart of God. And I want to give you, as I said a moment ago, five reasons why you can make it. The only disclaimer is you got to believe. Just because truth is truth does not mean that it's automatic. It's as you believe it. And I well believe this message this morning could be a lifeline to someone who is in this service today. You never know when you're going to need a ladder or a rope or some help, something to encourage you at the moment. Five reasons, scriptural reasons, biblical reasons you can make it. And we're keying off of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. First of all, Jesus came to this earth for you. As though you were the only person on the face of this earth, Jesus came to this earth for you. For all, but for you. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's all of us before we found Jesus as our personal Savior. A simple but a profound truth. He was born for us. He lived for us. Jesus came to this earth for you. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Another basic reason, Bible reason, scriptural reason that you can make it, is that Jesus died for you on the cross. One songwriter said, "When he was on the cross, I was on his mind." An accurate statement. Remembering that when he said, "Let this cup pass if it's possible," that he was ready to drink the cup of the vilest sewer of every disease, every hatred, every war, every misunderstanding, everything that is wrong with this world. When I grew up, it wasn't that we didn't do things wrong, we didn't get into some things wrong, but you know, we were taught for men to be men and for men to care about their families and for men to care about their wives and for men to respect and to care about their children. Always have been people that didn't follow through with that, but that's a basic understanding of life. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. I am commanded to love my wife as Christ loved the church. And that kind of love means I'd be willing to give my life for my wife. Is that a noble thing in me? It's a noble desire. And by the help of God, I believe we can do what God said to do. Now, but Jesus died on the cross for you. Just for you. Every time you see a cross around someone's neck, and you see it in jewelry, you see it in many different places, though the world is trying to erase that, it's still there. You'll never be able to erase the old rugged cross. You'll never be able to do away with that old rugged instrument of shame that Jesus went to that cross just for you. Now, I started to add an extra one after the service this morning, the beginning of the service. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I'm not going to stay there, but I want to just throw that in there. Stay happy, stay victorious. Stay happy. Be happy. Enjoy the journey. I've had to remind myself of that 3 or 4 times this week. You know, pastors deal with some challenging things. I'm dealing with some of the most challenging things in my life. Thank God there's no church trouble. It's not that. But my responsibility is sometimes pretty vast. Sometimes it's so quiet you think it's a frame-up. Sometimes it's coming down so hard you think it is a frame-up. It's been a challenging few days dealing in people's lives. But let me tell you, when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible said that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. He went to Calvary with more joy than we have sitting in padded pews in a lovely sanctuary today. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You need to keep a joy CD in your car, in your home. When all else fails, just put in a joy CD and get happy. Have happy hour. The joy of the Lord is your strength, Nehemiah 8:10. And for the joy that was set before Jesus. You know, sometimes it's illogical, it's crazy. You feel like an idiot, you know, because you have so many reasons to be sad and to be bummed out. And just to rear back and say, ha, ha, ha. Someone gave us a little guy that you punch his button and he just guffaws. Where did that go, honey? I need to find another one. So when things get a little quiet around the house, you just press the button and just have a blast. Jesus died on the cross for you. The joy of the Lord is your strength. We're slipping an extra point there. And also Jesus was resurrected from the dead for you. He's not in a tomb like other religious leaders. The grave is empty. The tomb is empty. One of the high points of our trips to Israel is the backside of the door of the tomb. He is not here. He is risen. He is risen. And because he lives, we live also. 1 Corinthians 15, is it verse 20 and verse 23, say that Jesus is the first fruits of our resurrection. He's the first fruits of our everything. You know how much you're going to take with you out of this world? Zero. Jesus is the first fruits. Thank God for Jesus. He was resurrected from the dead for you. Can't you imagine hell's freaking out? Thank God when that time was over and he came forth raised up over death, hell, and the grave. Jesus, our first fruits. Jesus was resurrected from the dead for you. If he's still dead, you're dead. If he is still dead, read 1 Corinthians 15. You're still in your sin. There's no hope. Nothing to live for. But if Jesus is alive, and Jesus is alive, life is worth the living. He didn't stay in the tomb. He didn't stay on the cross. God bless Joseph, who thought more of the dead body of Jesus than most people thought of the live body of Jesus on this earth. Joseph begged his body. He wasn't weird or bummed out. He reverenced even the dead former body, earth suit of Jesus. Put him in his own grave. Well, those are wonderful thoughts to me. So number one, reason that I can make it, Jesus came to this earth for you, for me. Number two, Jesus died on the cross for you and for me. We slipped another one in there. The joy of the Lord is your strength, and you have joy through his joy. Jesus died on the cross for you. Jesus was resurrected from the dead for you. And here's another interesting insight. You're still here. You're alive. After all you've been through, look at you. You're here. You're still here. Hey, that's a head start. You are still here, which means you still have a work to do for God. George, Brother Dwight called from California after the tornado had ravaged our building downtown and reached us by cell phone. And he said, the fact that you and Joy are still alive means God sure must have a work for you to do. Amen. You're still here. After all you've been through, you're still alive. Now I want you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7 and verses 24 and 25. The next reason that you can make it is that Jesus has been and Jesus is praying for you. Right now, while we're here in this service, Jesus is praying for us. Not against us, but he's praying for us. Notice in Hebrews chapter 7, verses 24 and 25, but this man, say it with me, but this man. See, they were talking about no one has a continuing priesthood because the problem is they all die. All the priests that have ever lived before, they were wonderful in their time, but there's a problem, they die. They were not suffered to continue by reason of death, the previous verse says. They died. But this man, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. This man saved you. This man was raised from the dead for you. This man died on the cross for you, but he was resurrected for you. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. In the middle of your being totally bummed out, Jesus is praying, Father, give them a shot of Holy Ghost adrenaline. Connect the dots. Help them to see that things are not as bad as they think they are. Didn't intend to bring it in, but over in that 8th chapter verse, 6, it said, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Well, we don't want to go there. Don't have time to pursue that. But this man, but Jesus, but this man, because he continueth ever and ever and ever and ever and ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now that leads me back over to Luke, the 22nd chapter. Here is Peter. Oh, we've worked on this man, haven't we? We've cussed him and discussed him and fussed at him. And you know, really, I would just, for a moment, I just stopped and thought, how would I feel if in the presence of Jesus, I had cursed and said, I never know this man, never knew this man. I think I'm a loyal person. I am a loyal person. I was taught that. It's part of my DNA, if it's at all possible. I'm a loyal person. But can you imagine being with Jesus 3 years and with profanity saying, I don't even know the man. And the cock begins to crow, the rooster begins to crow, and Peter says, oh my God. Yeah. Well, here's something that's going to help you now. This is some real meat to me. It's a little bit of new ground for me in one way. He has and he is praying for you that your faith fail not. Now, please write down what I'm sharing with you at this point, because this is awesome. You see, the most negative force in the world is unbelief. You believe you can't, and you can't. The most negative force in this world is unbelief. The most powerful, positive force in this world is faith. Nothing any more powerful. Powerful, more powerful than any army that ever marched. Than all the arsenal of nuclear whatever. The atom bomb brought mass destruction, but it brought the end of the war. In World War II. So where are you going, Pastor? Here's what I saw. Many times you feel that you have failed, but you really haven't. Many times you feel that you failed, and you did. At that moment, fail. Yes, there are faith failures. But every failure is not a faith failure. It may be a timing failure. I'm saying something. See, you have either a seeming failure, or you do have a failure. Something just doesn't work out. And the devil comes and says, you're a total failure. No, 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 no. Right behind our bedroom porch, there's an assortment. I don't know what they are. We've cut them down 3 times. And I looked out this morning. I thought, you know, there are trees growing out there. We cut them to the ground. Thought it might not be in the best interest of, you know, being close to the concrete or whatever. And it dawned on me, those trees said, nah, 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 nah. Didn't want them, cut them down, tried to get rid of them, and they're stronger than before. Let me tell you something. Satan may cut your tree down, but you're not a failure. On a given occasion, maybe you did fail in that project, but your faith did not necessarily fail. Oh, I'm saying something. Sometimes it seems that your faith has failed, but it really hasn't. Sometimes it feels like you have failed, but you really didn't. You failed, or the project failed, or the time. Maybe it was a timing failure. I can relate to that. Oh. I remember going back downtown when we had to sell that 8 acres, which was our future. We didn't have enough property to do the things even we were doing at that time. So we had to sell it. And yet I see how God's even structured the sale of that, how we negotiated a lower parking lot and put about $500,000 or $600,000 into it that we didn't have to put into it, and established that lower parking lot, you know, where we had the tent and all that across there. And we used it as a running track and a few other things, parking. But it really was a long way up that hill, wasn't it? Yeah. 13 years. But I remember when I returned from the title company, I felt like failure. I said, God, where did I fail? Where did I miss it? How could we let 8 acres of prime property go? We had to finance the upper part of it. Because the people of that time told me very frankly, we don't think you're going to make it, so we want all of it when we get it. 13 years later, after they pay the taxes, that part was taxed. You don't want to know what the taxes were on that for the next 13 years. We bought it back. And now, because of that, we have our new Christian school. You just have to excuse me. When you've been there, been through some times, you know that God's an awesome God. And when your back's against the wall and there's not a thing you can do about it, nothing, no options, just let go and let God have His wonderful way. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not your own understanding. So I want to go through that because this is so very important. Yes, there are faith. It seems like there are faith failures, but not your faith. I want to say it right. Every failure is not a faith failure. Every failure is not a failure, and every failure is not a faith failure. I think I'm saying it like I want to say it there. You can fail, but it doesn't mean that your faith has failed. It may be a timing failure. And sometimes God is tweaking us in the process. I see some people that could be successful if they could just get their personality under control, if they could just get their dominance under control, if they could just learn to yield a little bit. I've sat right there and watched people blow big deals because they couldn't change. They would not change. Bless God, it's my way or highway. Okay? So wallow in it. Folks, life is change. And this pastor's done a ton of changing over 42 years. I'm still changing today. And you have to know when to change. You have to know the battles to fight over. You need to know where you need to compromise. That's something about you that turns deals off. That's something about you that breeds uncertainty in others that are dealing with you. You can blow a deal and don't blame it on God. It seems that your faith has failed, but it hasn't. Maybe it's a timing failure. Maybe you need to change. Maybe I need to change. We're all in the process of changing. You can't pastor a church without being subject to change. Now, if you're out there where you're in and out and you're in, preach and go on, you can do your thing and move on down the road. But, you know, there's nothing that'll knock the corners off of you, the rough edges off of you, just like pastoring and the daily dealing with people. And you need to know where I need to change. Pull back a little bit. Go forward. You don't drive through a mountain pass at the same speed all the time. So, Jesus, I want to go back to that point, make sure we drive that home. Jesus has been and is praying for you that your faith fail not. That's his prayer. That your faith fail not. Notice this. Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you. What are you praying for, Jesus? That my faith fail not. And when thou art converted. In other words, there's a change that's coming in you, Peter. And we saw that change come. When thou art converted. I'll not go into the theology of that statement, but when thou art converted. Jesus said, you're going to strengthen my body. You're going to strengthen my sons and daughters. Someone said, if you knew my past, you'd understand my praise. It's an interesting statement. The disclaimer is this: if thou canst believe, all things are possible. Mark 9:23. That's the disclaimer. If thou canst believe. It's not going to happen because you're here today. It's not going to happen because you're a Protestant or a Catholic or whatever you claim to be. It's going to happen if thou canst believe. And church, here's what I want to challenge us to do. And I'm just saying, God, give me the ability to articulate what I'm trying to say at this point. Folks, it's easy to get off your faith. It's easy to get off your faith about your healing. It's easy to get off your faith about your finances. It's easy. I say it's easy. It happens. It's easy to get so preoccupied with things and people in your life that you start to, the engine, and it says, wrong. Your battery's down. The Spirit of God's here to recharge your battery today. The Spirit of God is in this room to recharge your battery today. It's easy to let the spirit of revival diminish. I've paid a price for that one. Thank God for the privilege of. But I have to stir myself up. Now, I know real fireplaces mess up things. Ladies, I know, so I'm not trying to put anybody on condemnation. But I just like a nice roaring fire. But you know, there's a consequence to that. I could turn on the gas starter and just let it go. But if you're going to have a real fire, you got to put at least 3 logs on the fire. And you got to get some coals going. And once it's going, you can throw a log in, but it doesn't work to begin with. And you have to work a fire. Why doesn't Pastor leave us alone? What? Why does he keep poking us? Why does he keep rearranging our logs in the fireplace? Because I know personally, and I know about you, it's easy to let the fires of revival diminish. I can always tell when it's approaching first fruits or revival now. Whoo! Yeah. And it's coming. It's coming. One of the greatest blessings that can happen, and we'll be back there again, is to have a backlog of finances and have everything else done that need to be done around here. It takes a lot of faith to keep a church like, you look at 17 and a half acres, if you think it doesn't take faith to run this operation, you're just not in contact with reality. Every day the sun comes up and every day the sun goes down. It's faith in God. Have faith in God. For our Christian school, for the church, for all the various ministries that we have, because everything around here is impossible. But that's the way it is. So what I'm saying to you is, stir your faith up. You're going to need your faith until you draw your last breath. Read healing books. Stir yourself financially. Never get to the point, say, well, we've given and we've given and we've given, and I just, you know, give some more. Give until it hurts. Give until it stops hurting. It's easy to get off your faith about your children. It's easy to get off your faith and become preoccupied about your grandchildren. There are grandchildren that if it was not for grandparents who believed God, they'd be in a world of trouble. And God put this church and this community to stir it up, to stir us up. I've had people this week look at me and say, the things you've gone through as a church and the things we've watched you go through, they don't even attend this church. The things you've gone through as a father and with your daughter, you don't know what that has done to encourage us. Well, to God be the glory. But on days when you don't think it makes any difference whether you live victorious or not, remember somebody's reading your Bible 24/7. Somebody's watching your life. Somebody's looking at the expression on your face. Someone's watching how you walk, how you live, what you say. We are living epistles, born and read of all men. So when you feel like you failed, you probably haven't. And maybe you really did, but like those trees behind us, they just didn't know to stop growing. The seed you have in the ground is going to keep on growing. Ask God where you need to change. Folks, there's not a one of us in this room that doesn't need to do some changing. Number one, okay, me. We're all changing. And if I change and you don't change, then I'm going to make you miserable. Well, if there's anything I want to do, I want to go out in a blaze of glory. I never have liked bunting. I like to slam for the wall. Okay. Anybody say, I've got it? When you feel like you failed, you probably haven't. But if you did, it doesn't mean your faith failed.